Now verse 7, and when they shall have finished their testimony, the wild beast that cometh up out of the abyss shall make war with them and overcome them and kill them. Now they'll finish their testimony. And in the midst of the week, that's when Antichrist, who is the beast, who is the man of sin, who is moving to power, bringing back first the Roman Empire. And then when he gets the whole world under his control, then he won't hesitate to overcome and destroy these two witnesses. And at that time, he'll be permitted to do that. In other words, this is the temporary victory of darkness over light, evil over righteousness, hell over heaven, and Satan over God, because God is going to let Satan loose during this period. And these witnesses live up to their names. Martus is the word for witness. We get our word martyr from that. Now, verse 8, and their dead bodies shall lie upon the street of the great city, which spiritually is called Sodom and Egypt, where also their Lord was crucified. Now, they're not even given a decent burial. And this reveals the crude, cold barbarism of the last days. It'll be covered with the thin veneer of culture. And that's ours today, by the way. There is a strange resemblance to the sadistic curiosity which placed two dead men, Lenin and Stalin, on display in Red Square in Moscow. The word used for bodies denotes the contempt and hatred the world has for the two witnesses. They're treated as dead animals. And the great city is Jerusalem, and it's likened unto Sodom by Isaiah. It's called Egypt because the world has entered into every fiber of its life, social and political. It is conclusively identified as Jerusalem by the sad designation where also their Lord was crucified. Now, verse 9, and out of the peoples and tribes and tongues and nations do some gaze upon their dead bodies to be put in a tomb. You see, after Christ was crucified, even Pilate permitted his friends to take down the body and give it a respectable burial. But not so with the two witnesses, for the world will be startled to hear that they're dead, and some will be skeptical. And apparently they'll have something that corresponds to a television camera, and they will have a satellite that will carry it all over the world so that people everywhere will be able to look upon the features of these for 3 days and a half. The morbid curiosity of a godless society will relish the opportunity of gazing with awe upon these dead bodies. And I think this is the worst indignity that a depraved world could vent upon the man who denounced them and their wicked ways. Now, perhaps the witnesses had predicted their resurrection. We're not told that, but they might have. And to prevent the possibility of another empty tomb, there was no burial. Just leave them out there and keep the camera on them. I think CBS and the other networks, NBC, ABC, and XYZ, all of them will have their cameras pointed on these boys that are dead. And 3 days and a half, there they lie. And then something happens. Verse 10, and the dwellers upon the earth rejoice over them, make merry, shall send gifts one to another, because these two prophets tormented the dwellers on the earth. Now, they have high carnival on the earth. The world engages in a modern Christmas and Mardi Gras, both rolled into one. And the world has adopted the philosophy, let us eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. And Dr. Newell describes it like this. Now comes the real revelation of the heart of man. Glee, horrid, insane, inhuman, hellish, ghoulish glee. Mankind rejoicing over the death, and they're going to send gifts one to another. They are going to make a lovely occasion on the surface, but this is the devil's Christmas. The modern celebration of Christmas, I think today, gets farther and farther from the birth of Christ and closer to paganism. And the day will come when it'll be anti-Christian. It's almost that now. And here is the celebration of what Antichrist has done, rather than the celebration of the coming of Christ to Bethlehem. Now, in verse 11 I read, "And after the 3 days and a half, the breath of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them that beheld them." You see, while the world is celebrating in jubilation the death of these witnesses, and the television cameras are focused upon them, the witnesses will stand on their feet, and all of the networks will regret that they had the cameras pointed to them, because they didn't want to really give the news as it is. And they stood upon their feet. This is the scriptural word for resurrection, by the way, of the tribulation saints who have part in the first resurrection. Now, I suppose that any news like this would be a scoop, but I'm sure that all of the networks would have their cameras on. Now, by that time, they may have some new gadget that makes the television look very much antiquated and out of place. Now, verse 12, "And they heard a great voice out of heaven saying to them, 'Come up here.' And they went up into heaven in a cloud, and the enemies beheld them." Now, they're caught up into heaven. You see, we have the resurrection of the two witnesses in verse 11. We have the ascension of the two witnesses in verse 12. And the cloud of glory is associated with the ascension and the coming of Christ also.